A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome, Curious Mind, to the deep dive. We're digging into a book today that, well, feels more relevant than ever, doesn't it?
It really does. We're talking about Richard Creston's The Hot Zone. It's nonfiction, but honestly, it reads like a thriller.
Totally. It focuses on these incredibly lethal viruses, Marburg and Ebola. Scary stuff.
And what's wild is it's all true. Preston wrote it back in the early 90s, and it was this stark warning about emerging diseases, about our vulnerability.
Yeah, that central argument, it really lands differently now, post-pandemic. The idea that humanity is basically inviting disaster by pushing into these fragile ecosystems.
Exactly. Chopping down forests, expanding cities. We disturb things, and sometimes things bite back.
And the book poses that chilling question. What happens when one of these microscopic predators, something from deep in a jungle, suddenly shows up in a modern city?
Right. Like it did in Reston, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. It wasn't theoretical anymore.
That proximity is terrifying.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the author, Richard Preston. Who was this guy sounding the alarm?
Well, he's a very respected American journalist known for his work in The New Yorker. But the interesting thing, his background isn't virology. He has a Ph.D. in English.
Wait, English? Not like epidemiology or microbiology. How does an English PhD end up writing the definitive book on Ebola, getting access to places like US AMRIID, the Army's top biohazard lab?
It's kind of the key to the book's success, actually. He's not one of the scientists. He's like us, the reader. His role really was to be the translator.
Ah, okay. So his goal wasn't just to report the science, but to make us feel the reality of it.
Precisely. He took this incredibly complex, frankly terrifying science of biosafety level 4 viruses and turned it into a story, a gripping human story you just can't put down.
And he clearly did his homework. I mean, the level of detail, the access he got to UT AMRIID, that speaks volumes about his research.
Absolutely meticulous. He built that credibility. It actually started as a piece in The New Yorker in 92, Crisis in the Hot Zone. Even then, you could see his talent for communicating just how serious this danger was.
So the book's core mission, then, is to dramatize the threat. To wake people up to the reality of these filoviruses and emerging diseases in general.
Yeah, it's education through narrative. Less about dry data, more about the visceral human cost. What happens when something like Marburg or Ebola hits?
In the narrative itself, it takes you on quite a journey.
It does. Geographically, chronologically, it starts in equatorial Africa, places like Mount Elgon, Kedem Cave, tracing this horrific death from Marburg.
Then it pulls back, gives you the history. Like the Marburg outbreak in Germany in 67, the Ebola outbreaks in Sudan and Zaire in 76.
Right, building the context. But the real gut punch, the narrative core, is that jump across the Atlantic to Reston, Virginia, 1989.
Suddenly, it's not a distant problem. It's right there, near the heart of American power. It makes the threat immediate.
And throughout it all, there's this undercurrent, this ecological message. That these viruses aren't just bad luck, they're a consequence.
A consequence of us disrupting nature.
That's Preston's argument, yeah. It's a cautionary tale about ecosystems and what happens when we push too hard.
Okay, let's dive into the actual story sections. Part one, The Shadow of Mount Elgon. This starts with Charles Monnet, right?
Yes, a French expatriate living in Kenya. He visits Kedem Cave in 1980, and things go downhill very, very fast. Preston does not hold back on the details.
No, he doesn't. It's incredibly graphic. The headache, the way his body starts to break down, connective tissues dissolving, the bleeding.
They call it crashing and bleeding out. It's brutal. And Monet's story immediately shows you the danger in our modern world.
Because he gets on a plane.
Exactly. While acutely ill with Marburg, he boards a commercial flight to Nairobi. He essentially becomes this walking biological time bomb, contaminating everything he touches.
It perfectly illustrates how a remote virus becomes a global threat literally overnight. And this is where Preston introduces concepts like the hot zone and BSL-4.
Right. Biosafety level 4. That's the maximum containment level. Think astronaut suits, but for handling the deadliest microbes on Earth.
Those pressurized suits, the Chemechurians.
Total isolation. Because a single drop, a tear in the suit, could be fatal. That's the level of danger we're talking about.
So part two, the Kinshasa Highway, delves into the history more.
Yeah, it looks back at Marburg in Germany, tied to imported monkeys.
Yeah.
But the real focus shifts to 1976. and Ebola, two simultaneous outbreaks, Ebola Sudan and the really terrifying one, Ebola Zaire.
Zaire. That's the one with the infamous reputation, isn't it? The slate wiper.
That's the one. Mortality rate's around 90%. Preston describes how it essentially liquefies organs. It's a horrifyingly efficient killer.
And wasn't there a nurse, Mienga? Her story highlighted the risk of it spreading in cities.
Yes, Nurse Mayenga. Her travels while infected showed just how easily Ebola could move from a village outbreak into a capital city, potentially triggering a massive epidemic. It raised the stakes significantly.
Which sets the stage perfectly for part three, Smashdown, the American Crisis.
The heart of the book, really.
Yeah.
Reston, Virginia, 1989. Monkeys are dying in this primate quarantine facility really close to DC.
And this is where we meet the key players from US SAMRID.
Right. Lieutenant Colonel Nancy Jayax, the pathologist who first spots the signs of a filovirus under the microscope, her husband, Lieutenant Colonel Jerry Jayax, who leads the veterinary response team, and experts like Dr. Gene Johnson.
The tension must have been unbelievable. They initially suspect it's Ebola Zaire, the 90% killer, right there on US soil.
Exactly. The absolute worst-case scenario seems to be unfolding. So the military launches this top-secret biohazard operation, codenamed Smashdown.
That's the mission to go in, euthanize all the monkeys, nearly 500 of them, and decontaminate the whole facility.
And Preston puts you right inside those BSL-4 suits with the team. You feel the heat, the sweat, the claustrophobia, the constant gnawing fear that one mistake, one tiny rip or puncture.
Means an agonizing death. It's an incredible portrait of bravery under extreme pressure.
It really is. But then comes part four, Kittim Cave, and the big twist,
The twist be.
the virus in Reston, while related to Ebola Zaire, turned out not to be dangerous to humans. Ebola Reston, they called it. The human handlers, despite exposure, didn't get sick.
Okay, so huge relief, right? Disaster averted.
Well, yes and no. Relief, sure. But then comes the truly chilling discovery.
Which was?
Evidence suggested the Reston virus might have been spreading through the air among the monkeys in that facility.
Whoa, airborne. I thought Ebola wasn't supposed to do
That
that.
was the prevailing wisdom, yes.
Yeah.
Direct contact with fluids. This finding, even with a non-lethal strain, was terrifying. It suggested these viruses could evolve new ways to spread.
So the conclusion is unsettling. The immediate crisis passed, but the potential is still there. The reservoir host, the animal carrying these viruses naturally, is still unknown. They're still out there, evolving.
Precisely. The monster wasn't at the door, but we learned it was maybe capable of picking the lock in a new way.
Okay, let's pull back and look at the big themes. Beyond the thrilling story, what are the core messages Preston leaves us with?
I think the biggest one is just how fragile our modern civilization is. Our global travel, our interconnectedness, it makes us efficient, but also incredibly vulnerable. One fast-moving virus could theoretically bring everything crashing down.
And that ties into the ecological warning, doesn't it? That these aren't just random events, but maybe nature's response to our expansion.
That's certainly how Preston frames it, almost like the planet's immune system reacting to the human infection, pushing back as we invade habitats where these things live quietly. It's a provocative idea.
There's also the psychological aspects. Fighting an enemy you can't see, that could be anywhere. On a doorknob, in the air you breathe. The mental toll on those US AMRIID soldiers must have been immense.
Unimaginable pressure, constant vigilance where a moment's lapse could be fatal.
But it's also a story of incredible courage, right?
Oh.
The JAX team, doctors like Musoki in Kenya who dealt with early cases, people who walked willingly into the fire.
Absolutely. It's a tribute to those frontline defenders, the unsung heroes working in those BSL-4 labs or remote clinics.
Preston has such a way with words, too. Some lines just stick with you.
He really does. That line encapsulating the ecological theme. The Earth is mounting an immune response against the human species.
Yeah, that one's powerful. Makes you rethink our place, doesn't it?
Definitely. Or the one about globalization. A hot virus from the rainforest lives within a 24-hour plane flight from every city on Earth.
Ugh, that just nails the modern reality. There's no such thing as over there anymore when it comes to disease. It makes the world feel very small, very connected in a dangerous way.
And for sheer visceral impact, comparing Ebola to AIDS, Ebola does in 10 days what it takes AIDS 10 years to accomplish.
Yeah, that gives you an immediate sense of the sheer speed and ferocity of these viruses. It's terrifyingly fast.
So, thinking about all this, what are the takeaways for you listening now? How does this apply today?
Well, first off, environmental awareness isn't just about saving polar bears, is it? The book makes it clear. protecting remote ecosystems, like rainforests, is actually about protecting ourselves. It's public health.
It absolutely is, which leads to the next point, understanding why public health infrastructure matters. Organizations like the CDC, WHO, funding for research, BSL-4 labs, they aren't luxuries. They're essential national and global security. This book shows you why.
And it really drives home the need for a global perspective, I think. An outbreak anywhere is potentially an outbreak everywhere. We can't just wall ourselves off. International cooperation, helping strengthen healthcare systems worldwide.
Yeah.
It's crucial.
Because we're only as strong as the weakest link in that global chain.
So wrapping up, what's the single biggest lesson you took away from revisiting the hot zone?
For me, it's a profound sense of humility.
Yeah.
We like to think we're masters of the planet, but the microbial world operates on rules far older and more powerful than ours. We're part of nature, not above it. And these viruses are constantly adapting, evolving. It demands respect and caution.
Yeah, humility is a good word for it. For me, it was the stark realization that our only real defense is preparedness. Constant research, vigilance, international cooperation. Because the threat isn't hypothetical. It's real, it's ongoing, and as Preston showed, it can emerge silently anywhere. We have to be ready.
The Reston incident was a near miss, a warning shot. The next one might not be.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.